You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt appears in the new film 50-50, in which he plays a young man diagnosed with cancer. The movie, which opens today and is based on screenwriter Will Reiser's personal experience with the disease, also stars Seth Rogen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt first came to the attention of television audiences during the six seasons he appeared on Third Rock from the Sun, and more recently he was in the hit film Inception, and he played Zooey Deschanel's boyfriend in 500 Days of Summer. In addition to his film credits, Mr. Gordon-Levitt also founded and runs Hit Record. We're going to have to go over how you want to pronounce these things,
okay?
Because it could be hitrecord.org, an online collaborative production company which has just published its first multimedia collection as a book called Hit Record Recollection. I'm very pleased that it has brought Joseph Gordon-Levitt to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
So since you capitalized certain parts of these words, how do you want to pronounce?
Yeah, well, it's sort of a double entendre. It could be hit record or hit record, and that's sort of the double meaning was, I guess, sort of the point.
So how does this organization work? This book has your name on it, but it's really a collaborative effort, isn't it?
Yeah, I direct a creative community that's about 50,000 artists strong at this point and growing all the time, and basically, when I wanted to start a production company to do the little things that I love doing, like making short films or music or art or writing or stuff like that.
Like so many actors you wanted to direct?
Yeah, I guess. Not direct in the conventional sense, but I guess, yeah, we do use the word director, because I do draw a lot from my experience growing up on working on traditional movie sets. And rather than just working within Hollywood and its sort of exclusive entertainment industry, I wanted to open these projects up to artists all over the world that are doing such great work who don't necessarily have the connections of you know, being in Hollywood.
So you created a website and you invited people to contribute to it?
That's right, yeah. So we have our projects up online on our website, and anybody can come contribute, and then I sort of direct the community and curate, and like I said, we've got about 50,000 or so artists that contribute about 1,000 new pieces every day.
Were you surprised by the kind of volume that you engendered so quickly?
Well, it wasn't quick, actually. This has evolved from a little hobby thing that I was doing 6 years ago, and only in the last year and a half have I started to make a professional production company out of it, but it grew very organically and gradually out of something I was just doing for fun.
So now we have this book, which also includes a DVD and a CD.
Yeah. Yeah, so the DVD has all the short films and videos that we've made, and the CD has a bunch of original music that we've made, and the book is 64 pages of art and writing, and it's a big, you know, hardcover, cloth-bound volume. I really wanted it to be tangible and collectible, the kind of thing you wanted to hold in your hand or put on your shelf.
All these people are contributing these things for no fee?
Actually, no. We share our profits. When any of our productions actually makes money, we take the profits and split them in half, and half goes into the company and half goes to all the different contributing artists.
Are there any kinds of media that aren't allowed?
Any kinds of media that aren't allowed? No, not really. I mean, anything you can transmit with ones and zeros. So not a lot of cooking goes on, you know, if you count that as media.
Do you participate in any of these collaborations?
I participate in nearly all of them. Actually, that's how I like to direct what goes on, is rather than just telling people what to do, like when I get involved, that's when the community really likes to jump on a project.
Well, from what I've heard from actors, there's a lot of downtime on a movie set. So
you hit the nail on the head, my friend.
Sitting around waiting for the next setup.
Yeah.
So is that when you worked on these things, when you're filming something like 50-50?
Or waiting for the next job. You know, there is a lot of downtime in the career of a traditional movie actor, and also, you know, I love acting. I really do love it, but it's very different. Acting, it's your job to provide the necessary ingredients to the filmmaker who is making the movie. And again, I love doing it. I love helping the filmmakers I've had the privilege to work for realize their visions. But I also knew that it wouldn't work for me to have to spend my whole life waiting for somebody else to give me the go-ahead to be creative.
Well, films are a collaborative medium, but in the end, you can see the best take you think you ever made in your whole career on the cutting room floor,
yes,
and
yeah,
something that you thought was totally lame wind up in the film.
It's true.
You don't have that kind of control.
It's true. On Hit Record, I often cut some of my best stuff also, just because, you know, you got to serve the whole.
You've gotten people from 50/50 to collaborate on Hit Record. You, Seth, Will Reiser just posted a video online addressed to Hit Record members. What do you say in the video?
Yeah, so it was we started this collaboration inspired by 50/50 because in the movie, the movie is a story of Will's experience going through a really trying ordeal, surviving cancer, but he managed to write a movie with a comedic point of view. And so we put out the request for people to contribute their stories of trying ordeals that they had been through, but to tell it with a sense of humor.
And do people appreciate having something as serious as cancer told from a humorous perspective?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I've learned and through Will's experience that even amidst such a serious situation, funny things do happen if you're going to be honest about it.
Your character, Adam, has trouble telling people about his diagnosis, which reflects the way that people avoid talking about cancer. Why would people want to see a movie about such a taboo conversation topic?
Well, I think it's honest, and I think it's sort of universal. We all go through rough patches in life, and I think at times we all have to throw up our hands and laugh at how absurd it can be.
Has Will Reiser completely beaten his cancer?
Yes. Yes, he's doing real well.
Did you know him when he was fighting it?
I did not. No, but Seth did. Seth and he go way back. And so the character that Seth plays in the movie is also based on his experience with Will as a friend going through this.
So this is semi-autobiographical.
Yeah.
With you, of course, playing Will.
That's right.
Your character is only 27 years old, and before being diagnosed didn't even know about the possibility of having cancer. Did you have to research this role? Because very few people under a certain age even think about the possibility of cancer before they get much older.
Yeah, you're right. I did a bit of research. I did speak to a number of people that had been through similar things. But my main source of research was Will himself, the screenwriter. And having him there every day made me feel very comfortable and secure in trying things and able to know I was being honest.
Well, when Adam tells his mother, who's played by Angelica Houston, about his diagnosis, he starts by referencing the movie Terms of Endearment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's the research that they do in popular culture.
Yeah, and you know what Seth and Will have said a lot is they felt like when they were going through this thing, there weren't any movies that really reflected their experience, that most movies about this sort of subject matter are kind of overly sentimental or maudlin, and their experience was not that. Their experience was more absurd, and they actually were coping oftentimes by finding the humor in it, and so they wanted to make a movie that reflected that.
And when you're acting a role, you generally wind up becoming the character, or at least you try to become the character. Mm-hmm. So when you were doing this, did you wonder how you might react if you were given a 50% chance of living?
Yeah, I thought about that every day. Yeah.
And some people say that they'd go out and do all the things they never could have done in their lives,
right,
take all the chances. But other people just want to get comfortable.
I would say, I would probably just want to spend time with my family and friends, close friends, you know.
You had to shave your head.
That's right.
For this role. How did people react when they saw you with a shaved head?
Yeah, well, you know, it can be a little cold at night with a shaved head. It's funny, doing a
scene
like
that. Didn't
hurt
Michael Jordan, did it?
No, he does just fine, doesn't he? Doing a scene like that, though, you know, making movies, you always have take two. You can always do it again, but you can't shave your head twice. So we only had one take, and that made that kind of extra exhilarating.
But then if it's the hair starts growing, you can always shave it off again. But
oh, we shaved it every day, yeah.
And you were working with an incredible actress, Angelica Houston. You've had the great pleasure of working with John Lithgow. So
indeed.
Do you learn a lot from working with people like that?
Oh, yeah. I think I learn immeasurably. That's why I'm so darn good. That was a joke.
I got it.
Thanks.
Well, if you can find the humor in cancer, you can find the humor in that joke.
Okay.
Did you have any consulting oncologists in this film?
Yeah, I did speak with a doctor, and but again, it's really a movie that's less about the specific medical condition and much more about how it felt and a guy's personal journey. It's really more about a guy who starts off the story as a bit of a neurotic dude who's sort of insecure and lets people walk all over him and goes through this real trying experience and comes out of it a little looser, I think, a little bit more grown up, a little bit more able to go with the flow.
My guest is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who appears and stars in a new film called 50-50, in which he plays a young man diagnosed with cancer. He's co-starring with Seth Rogen from a script by Will Reiser. Who's the director?
Jonathan Levine is his name.
And the movie opens today. There's also a book called Hit Record or Hit Record Recollection or Recollection with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name on it. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Let's listen to a song from the CD.
Oh, great. I think this will be the first time our music's ever been on the radio.
Nearby the insomniac lies their big brother Jupiter size, sleeping with one open eye, bloodshot from all those years gone by. His sister is so sad and nine, her mood rings changing all the time, while the long face her mother prize, because my core is made of ice.
Nothing big, nothing grand, nothing useful, nothing planned, nothing smart, or at least not very, nothing revolutionary, nothing urgent, nothing hot, maybe quiet, maybe not, nothing hard, nothing wet, nothing naked, not yet, nothing witty, nothing wise, no big deal, no first prize, nothing solemn, nothing said, nothing much to get, nothing now.
We went into that break with a song called Nebulullaby, sung by Sean Lennon, not exactly an unknown singer.
Indeed.
And we just came back with Nothing Big, sung by that other famous singer, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, thank you.
So have you always sung?
Yeah, I always liked to sing when my whole life. I never really did anything professional with it, and it seems to have come around sideways with Hit Record.
Well, you've never sung in any of the TV or movies that you've done, except on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got to do Make 'Em Laugh, the old Singing in the Rain number on Saturday Night Live.
Well, though you did sing in 500 Days of Summer, didn't you?
Yeah, there's that karaoke scene. Mm-hmm. Indeed. It was a bit of drunk singing. Yeah.
That was a really charming film.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I mean, and when I think of the two big films that you've been in, that and Inception, I can't think of two films that are more different.
Yeah, well, I do have an eclectic taste in movies.
Well, is it you, or how do you wind up being? I could see you being called for 500 Days. Is it 500 Days? 500? What is it?
Yep, 500 yeah. Days.
Because you're perfect for that role, but why do you think they asked you? Not that you were wrong for Inception, but it's just so different. And since so much of what you've done has been associated with comedy, how did they come to cast you in that?
Well, I think the director, Christopher Nolan, had seen me in a few movies that are more serious and dramatic, The Lookout or Brick, and yeah, I don't know. Who's to say? I'm glad he picked me.
Did Sean Lennon write Nebula Lullaby for Hit Record?
Yeah, he wrote the lyrics and melody with his songwriting partner, Charlotte Kemp Mull. And then he just put a track of himself singing with guitar up on the website. And then all the instruments that you heard behind him were contributed by various people from all over the world.
So he's accompanied together by different people who were not at the same record session.
That's correct. Yeah.
But it didn't sound like that.
Well, thank you. That was the idea.
Well, of course, you could have rejected the bad drum track.
And there were much more contributions than the ones we used, for sure.
And there's also a music video?
Yeah, we made the whole song and video all within the time of the Sundance Film Festival in 2010 when we sort of kicked off Hit Record. And we were on a mad dash to, with ourselves and our whole global community, create enough stuff to make an evening of it.
Well, Hit Record makes sense as a place where videos and music collaborations would take place. When did you decide to publish a book?
We first published a book because Recollection is actually the second thing that we've published. The first time was this little book called The Tiny Book of Tiny Stories. And that started just because an artist goes by the name of Wiro started this collaboration called Tiny Stories, where he would write just a little story, you know, that was maybe a sentence or two or three long, and illustrate them. And other people started doing that, writing their own stories. And then other artists would read the stories that others had written and contribute illustrations to go along with them. And we got thousands of these things, and we eventually curated them down into a book.
So you have graphic stories as well, but you also have just things that might seem appropriate in an art gallery.
Yeah, we have all sorts of stuff in Recollection, from literature to poetry to you know, photographs, illustrations, paintings, the gamut, yeah.
You were in A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt, and you won a Young Artist Award for that performance. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was the first movie I was ever in, and Robert Redford directed it. I was 10 years old. This was in 1991.
Had you wanted to be an actor, or did you fall into it accidentally?
Yeah, I'd been doing it for a few years by then. I always loved it. I was in like a community theater when I was very young, you know, along with piano lessons and soccer and gymnastics and stuff. It was just one of the things that I did, and kind of went from there.
And your brother too?
My brother, he was never into the acting. He did, you know, a lot of the sports and things. And we had our different preferences, and my parents really supported us both. And I always just loved doing the acting stuff. And so, my mom would drive me to auditions every day. And gradually a career came out of it, which was not what we expected. But I'm glad that's what happened.
Your brother passed away recently.
Yes, sir.
So was that while you were working on the film? Thinking about death?
No, it was after I'd finished shooting 50-50.
You've also screened films at Sundance?
That's right.
Who takes credit for the film?
Who takes credit? Are you talking about Hit Record again now?
Well, the movies that we make? You had the short film in Sundance in 2010.
Yes.
Sparks?
Right. So Sparks was one I made before Hit Record had really become such a collaborative online operation. And it's a more conventionally made short film that was based on a short story by the writer Elmore Leonard, who wrote the original material on which Jackie Brown was based, and Out of Sight.
And 85,000 Westerns.
Yeah, exactly. Ombre, one in particular I like, 310 to Yuma. So this is a short story that
gave John Travolta a career boost as
well. Yeah, you're right about that, yeah. So I adapted it into a screenplay and shot it on, you know, film with actors, and that was a great experience. But I also came out of that experience feeling like, okay, well, I just spent all that time doing it sort of the old-fashioned way. it made me all the more curious and hungry to try something a little less orthodox.
And not just go the route that Robert Redford went and use your acting career as a jumping off point to become a director.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's interesting because Robert Redford not only became a filmmaker, but he also founded the Sundance Institute to foster creativity and an artistic community for artists who weren't necessarily fitting into conventional Hollywood formulas. And I really admire that. And Hit Record's different because it's a production company. We're actually making things as opposed to just curating a festival of things. But the principles and the sentiment and the spirit, I think, of Sundance is one of my greatest inspirations.
We have a clip from Morgan M. Morganson's Date with Destiny, another Hit Record short film that was shown in Sundance last year.
Yeah.
Maybe we should listen to a bit of it, because we can't see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it sounds pretty good.
Morgan M. Morganson's Date with Destiny. Capricious Califrag Morgan M. Morganson stood in the long room of his four walls, narcissing himself in the double glass. He horizontalized his neck bow and let a long stream of air out of his face hole. He was ready to lethariate, or at least ready as he'd ever be. The eat room was all a shadow with the tiny flames of wax sticks. Our man Morgan unstood onto a person holder and waited as the time teller ticked and talked on. Tardily, the saxifragus personette swavered through the wall hole. Her head front was polypainted with faux face, lips cherried to the max, sea globe hairs emplussed to twin the limbs of arachno monsters.
Now, it's apparent that somebody was playing a lot with language there.
Yeah, indeed.
We do understand everything. Who wrote that?
It was written by a young lady from Ireland who goes by the name Metaforist on Hit Record. And she wrote this wonderful short story, and that's how that started. And I loved the story so much, and so did the rest of the community, so I decided to record that voiceover for it. And once I did that, then all sorts of other people jumped in, and it ended up this grand short film.
And you also included the text in the book.
That's right. So in the book, you can read along and get all the details of her wordy word geniality.
Did you ever stumble on any of those things? Because you knew what you were saying, window, for example, instead of hole in the wall.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Well, it took some practice and some retakes before I got it perfect.
And where would you like to go with your career? Do you think that you can keep on juggling the acting career with with what you're doing here?
Yeah, you know, they really complement each other quite nicely, I find. And like I said, I got an eclectic taste for everything, so I like the variety. And it's really worked well the way that the acting career stimulates Hit Record. When Inception came out last year, the art being made on Hit Record really took a very noticeable leap up. And
because people took you more seriously?
Yeah, and just by virtue of exposure, of more people being exposed to Hit Record, more artists coming, and therefore more good artists coming. And the same thing is happening right now with 50/50 as that marketing, you know, ramps up and people are more and more aware of it. More and more people are coming to the site at Hit Record and contributing their work.
How does that happen? They Google Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Hit Record pops up?
Yeah, or maybe they're listening to WNYC and they hear us talking about it.
And this book is available in any bookstore?
It's available in select bookstores. In New York, it's going to be available at the Strand, I know. And it's, you know, and of course you can order it online. And I'll be frank, when you do order it online, the contributing artists definitely make more money.
Yeah. Because there's nobody taking a profit.
That's right.
You'll be appearing in a movie that's being released in 2012 called Looper.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really special movie for me.
Do you
me.
Get to shoot a gun in that?
I do. I do, a few of them. Yeah, it's a really clever time travel movie and a bit of a meditation on the circular nature of violence.
I'm sure it's already been shot.
Yeah, we finished shooting it earlier in the year, and they're editing it now.
Is it weird to work on something intensely and then sit around or not think about it for a while, and then suddenly have this thing come out, which probably will look quite different from what you imagined?
It is indeed weird, and it creates a lot of time warps where, for example, 50/50 is out now, and we shot that in the spring of last year, so it's very nostalgic almost. Like, oh, right, that's what I was doing then. It's one of the things I love about Hit Record is I make something, I put it up, and instantly people are reacting to it and giving feedback, and it's much more present in that way.
On the other hand, you can be surprised by something you didn't even realize happened or you forgot happened.
Yeah, you're right.
You see a film a year later.
There is a value in that.
You're also working on The Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
That's going to be the last of the Batman trilogy.
That's right, yeah.
Were you a Batman fan?
I've always been a Batman fan ever since I was a little kid, yeah. It's a real honor to be involved.
People often ask actors, how did you get involved? Is it usually just that somebody called you and said, Joseph, we're shooting The Dark Knight Rises, and we think that you might be good for one of the parts?
Well, in this case, The Dark Knight Rises is being directed by Christopher Nolan, who also directed the movie I was in last year, Inception. So that's how that happened.
Well, actors tell me that they're kind of amused by what they're expected to do. Wally Shawn once told me that he gets a script and he's reading through it, and then it says, small gnome-like man with a green pallor enters, and he thinks, oh, that's my part.
Uh-huh.
Does that happen to you?
Sure, yeah. I get a big kick out of playing a wide variety of different people. I like becoming someone other than myself.
Oh, that's what acting's all about, isn't it?
Indeed.
Well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in 50/50, which opens today in theaters here in New York. There's also a book called Hit Record, Recollection or Recollection, which is published by
by us. We did it,
and other films soon to come. And meanwhile, people, you can also check out what's happening today on the website, which is
hitrecord.org.
Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.